Today is the third Sunday of our Epiphany preaching series, which is called Basking in the Light. During this season between Epiphany and Lent, we're celebrating the light of God and remembering that the same light that led the Magi to the manger is still shining in the world today. So we're spending these 6 weeks soaking up as much light as we can. So far, we have basked in the light of love and the light of justice. This week, God is shining on us the light of discipleship and showing us what it means to be followers of Jesus. Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark. Over the next few Sundays, we're going to make our way through three different readings that will give us a glimpse into the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Now remember that Mark's gospel doesn't start with Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem where the baby Jesus is born. Mark begins with John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness, where an adult Jesus comes to be baptized. Mark's gospel often moves at a breathless pace, and here in the first chapter, the author moves quickly from Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River to his temptation in the wilderness, and then in just the 14th verse of the very first chapter of Mark, Jesus begins his public ministry. And in just 7 verses, Jesus both preaches his first sermon and calls his first disciples. Mark gets right to the point. So let's try and keep up as we hear this reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Listen now for the word of God. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. And now, friends, would you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm curious if you have ever felt like a fish out of water. I remember feeling that way during the first few weeks of a summer-long internship that was almost 16 years ago now. It was the summer between the end of my seminary education and the beginning of my first call in ministry. That summer, I was working as a hospital chaplain up at Beverly Hospital on the North Shore. The internship was required as part of my ordination process, so honestly, I was there in Beverly because I had to be, not because I wanted to be. I remember going through the orientation process, getting my floor assignment, and then being sent off to visit patients. And I remember floundering around because I had no idea what to do. I knew how to be with parishioners, but I didn't know how to visit patients. All of them were strangers to me, and I felt like something of a saleswoman for Jesus as I walked from room to room, peddling scripture and prayers to anyone who would take them. I felt awkward and clumsy, anxious, and so self-conscious. I was really struggling to find my footing in that place. But then I remember this conversation that I had with my supervisor. I remember coming to him with my litany of woes. "Father Jack," I said, "I know how to do ministry in a church, but not in a hospital. I know how to do ministry with people I know, but not with strangers. I know how to pray with parishioners, but not with patients. I know how to be a pastor, but not a chaplain." And finally, Father Jack had had about enough. And he said to me, "Jenny, it is not the place that makes you a pastor. You are a pastor no matter where you are. And this summer, this is your church. This is your congregation. These patients are your people. Be their pastor." Sometimes we need someone else to snap us out of our litany of woes. Sometimes we need to be reminded that we already have the tools we need to do the work God is calling us to do. Just think of Jesus' first disciples. Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee when he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." He did the same thing with James and John. Now notice that Jesus didn't take fishermen and call them to be farmers. He didn't ask Simon and Andrew, James and John to do something that was completely unfamiliar to them. They already had the tools they needed to do the work Jesus was calling them to do. They just had to realize that it wasn't the fresh water that made them fishermen. They could cast their nets in the world, just as they had cast their nets in the water. Jesus was so smart because he took people who already knew how to fish for fish, and he called them to fish for people. That's what discipleship is all about. Allowing God to take the gifts and talents we already have and put them to use in new ways. I honestly think that is one of the things that has allowed our church to remain strong and vibrant over the past 10 months. We've allowed God to take the gifts and talents we already have and put them to use in new ways. We've been willing to try new things, even if we felt awkward and clumsy, anxious and self-conscious. We've been willing to step out in faith, even if we weren't completely sure of our footing. And so over and over again, we have discovered that it is not this building that makes us a church. We are the people of God, no matter where we are. We are a church that lives not just within these walls, but out in the world. Now, I know I have said this before, but I'm going to say it again because it still blows my mind sometimes. Friends, when we first started virtual worship, we had no idea if anyone would watch. But what we did know is that worship had long been the foundation of our life together as a church. We knew how to do worship. We just had never done it online. But then the world changed and God called us to use the gifts and talents we already had in some very new ways. And so we took our first step into the world of virtual worship, and thanks be to God, you were right there with us. When we went live on Facebook that first Sunday back in March, our church was there. You were there. And it certainly felt a little awkward and clumsy at first. I know I was anxious and more than a little self-conscious, but we trusted that God had given us the gifts we needed for the work of virtual worship that God was calling us to do. And now, look at us. Every Sunday on Facebook Live, we have church. We worship God, of course, that continues to be the foundation of our life together, but we still have church on Sundays because you all show up. You've discovered that going to church doesn't have to mean sitting in the pews. It's not the place that makes us church. It's the people. And with virtual worship, some of the people who make up our church now are folks who couldn't even make it to the pews on a Sunday morning. We have folks who regularly join us for worship from Florida and North Carolina, New York and California, Michigan and Alabama. Friends, we have people ready to join our church next Sunday who have never set foot in this sanctuary. 10 months ago, that would have been inconceivable to us. But friends, with God, nothing is impossible. And so over and over again throughout the past 10 months, we have allowed God to take the gifts and talents we already have and put them to use in new ways. Just think of the new ministries that have come to life during the pandemic. God took our love of music and brought to life the Bell Choir. God took our love for each other and brought to life the Congregational Care Team. God took our love for our neighbors and brought to life the drive-through pop-up pantry. God took our love for the world and brought to life the Racial Justice Team. Now, friends, if God can do this for our church as a whole, then I am confident God can do this for us as individuals too. God can take the gifts and the talents we already have and put them to use in new ways. So I wonder, what is it that you already know how to do? What are the gifts and the talents and the passions and the practices that form the foundation of who you are? In the week ahead, I invite you to let the light of discipleship shine. Let it shine on the things that make you, you. Let it show you how God is calling you to use your gifts and your talents in new places, or with new people, or for a new purpose. Friends, let the light of discipleship shine. And what I mean by that is really bring your gifts into the light. Talk about them with trusted friends or family members. Write them down. Share them on Facebook right now. What are the things that make you, you? Let the light of discipleship shine on those gifts. Even if you don't know yet how God is calling you to use those gifts in new ways, simply bring your gifts into the light and see what God can do. And friends, as you follow where that light leads, don't be afraid of feeling awkward or clumsy. Don't be afraid of feeling anxious or self-conscious. Don't be worried if you can't find your footing right away. That often means that we are doing just the thing that God is calling us to do. And it's also important to remember that God just might call us to things that seem inconceivable to us at first. But friends, with our God, nothing is impossible. Amen.